CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Aloha, everyone. This is Pastor Gerald Skinner of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor. I'm filling in for Pastor Mike Kessler on To Every Man an Answer. We're looking forward to another great program of your questions, and hopefully we'll have answers from the Word of God to help you grow in the faith, to be a blessed people, and to draw closer to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. On with me today, we have special guest host is Scott Parker of Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri. Scott, we've been on before. It's always a great pleasure to be with you and looking forward to the program. How are things going for you at Festus, Missouri?
Well, thanks, Darrell. It's great to be with you, too. And things here are going well, at least our temperatures. Now, here I am talking about the weather with a guy from Hawaii, which is insane. But our temperatures have finally went from like 101 and 102, you know, down in a lot less than that. So we're good. But we've had a lot of flooding here in St. Louis.
Wow.
We had the other day, we had the most rain on record in one day ever in the St. Louis area. We're located about 35 miles south of downtown, so we didn't get hit with it, but up in St. Louis, they were dealing with anywhere between, in the metro region, anywhere between 8 to 12 inches of rain Wow. fell in one night. And even for around here, that's really insane. But anyway, we're blessed here, though, in Festus, just faithfully teaching the Bible and doing what God's called us to do. And so we're in we're heading toward our 18th year of ministry here in Festus. So we're blessed. And Darrell, it's a pleasure being on with you. We've been on before, you know, in the years past. And so since we're on Facebook now, this is why, knowing I was going to be on with you today, I wore my Hawaiian shirt.
So. Very good. I've got mine on, and we're two brothers looking like we're from Hawaii, but it's very cool. You know, I was thinking about our weather. It really radically changes from about 84 to 86 almost every day.
Oh,
that's bad.
I feel for you.
But yeah, we need all the listeners out there. We do need to pray for the folks in the Appalachians. I hear they're plucking people off the rooftops because of the flooding that's going on.
Yeah.
I guess it's moved through you guys and carried across our region, that region of the country. And so keep everyone in prayer, and hopefully we're not going to have any loss of life, and everybody stay safe. And it's these are just the days we're living in. You know, weather changes all the time. I'm not into the climate thing. I just think weather changes all the time. So that's just how it is. And let's take care of what God's given us, planet Earth, to the best of our abilities. But let's not impoverish the public in the process. We have a lot of great people with great ideas to help reduce emissions and pollutions and all these things. But you got to have a thriving economy to get the R&D going. Research and development, and when you don't have a thriving economy, research and development gets cut out. So this is the way of our nation. We need to have a thriving economy, lower gas prices, lower food prices, get the fertilizer back, because we've got to fertilize the fields, which I think Europe is going through right now. They're crying out for more fertilizer, and they're going to have food shortages and so forth. And this is just silliness, because of these environmentalists have taken us way too far to the wrong side of the hilt of these things. So, but hey, if you want to give us a call and you've got questions, we'd love to hear from you. It's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Once again, 1-888-ASK-CSN. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And we've got some lines open right now, and we love your questions. There's never a dumb question. This just want to grow in the Lord, or you have got concerns about a cult, or you've got concerns about Bible prophecy. You have concerns. You need personal scripture counseling for your marriage and family. Whatever it is, we're going to do our best to help minister to your hearts from the Word of God and bless your hearts mightily and abundantly. So let's go to the phones right now, Scott, and we're going to go to Jason in Jonesboro, Georgia. And Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you. How can we help you?
Yeah, I go to a small community church. It's non-denominational. a country church, and my pastor, he's a really good pastor. He preaches, you know, the word. He preaches about Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior. But it's basically the same message over and over every Sunday. And I don't listen or watch the news. I get most of the news through listening to you guys and what you say about what's going on and prophecy and all that. And I'm having dinner with him this weekend, and I just want to ask him if he would like start preaching on like current events and prophecy, what's happening today. And I wanted to ask you, how would you go about doing it? I don't want tactfully and not being disrespectful to him. I just want to ask him just to preach on what's happening in today's world, because I think we need to hear that at the church. We know Jesus, you know, he preaches Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But I think we need to hear that as well, what's going on today, how today is and how it lines up, and Jesus coming back really, really soon in my eyes. I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Well, you know, it can be a sensitive time depending on your pastor, how sensitive it is regarding people making suggestions, I will say. But I look forward to those suggestions. Sometimes we can get ourselves in our preaching in a rut, and we don't realize it. Usually my wife tells me. She's always one of the best to let me know that, hey, you're saying that over and over again. Stop it already. And so there are certain things we do have to keep sharing about, which is sin and salvation, of course. But one thing that we try to do is we go through the Bible. This is our third time going through the Bible in 28 years. And so as you go through the Bible, you hit every topic there is. And you know, that's one idea. I don't know if your pastor does that or he's strictly a topical preacher. But I would just kind of say, you know, pastor, I noticed that you've kind of been doing this. I love you and I love your sermons. But yet I notice it's kind of repetitious. Now, to get him into the news, I would suggest, you know, Spurgeon said something very interesting. He was known as a prince of preachers. I think it was the 1800s or something. And he said you have a newspaper on one hand, and then you have the Bible in the other, and he says the Bible's speaking loud and clear to the days we live in. And so as we look at what's happening across our world and how we're living in the days of Noah, how we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah, how we're seeing the formation of Iran and Russia along with Turkey recently. They just had a meeting 2 weeks ago. Those three major nations are the three major alliances of Ezekiel 38. And the prophetic war that's going to be coming against Israel, along with all the other Islamic nations, and so forth. So that's another opportunity as we see things form. But you just love him through it, and just, you know, say, I don't want to offend you, and hopefully he'll be able to receive it a bit and do it in encouragement and maybe by a mistake when you're going out to lunch. I don't know. Scott, what's your advice?
Yeah, Jason, you know, this is a difficult thing to breach with pastors, because there may be different reasons why he's not teaching or mentioning current events or mentioning prophecy. It may be that he's not maybe well taught in those areas of prophecy in scripture. Some pastors stay away from prophetic scripture because they just don't understand them themselves. And that can be a reason why some pastors will stay away from the topic of prophecy in the Bible. Also, it may be just the fact that he may feel like, and I want to be careful how I say this, but he may feel like that if he talks about current events and tries to tie it to the Bible, and then somehow, you know, what the current event that's happening, you know, if it dissipates and leaves, you know, and goes and what the Bible says didn't actually come to pass, that he may think that, hey, when people do that, I'm afraid to bring up these things, because what if what I think I'm seeing is this in the Bible, then it's not. You know, there's a lot of pastors that stay away from connecting current events to the Bible because they don't want to be labeled as the guy who said this is that in the Bible and then it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? So some people shy away from prophecy for that. So there may be different reasons for that. But when it does come down to, you know, a pastor teaching the Bible, it's very important that we do teach on prophetic scripture, because almost one third of the Bible is prophetic. It's prophecy. We've got, you know, one whole book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, which I'm teaching through now with our church. That whole Bible, that whole book is prophecy. At the end of that book, the book of Revelation tells us that that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So I don't understand how, if you're going to be faithful to teaching the Bible and teaching Jesus Christ, that you can get away from prophecy, because in sharing the gospel, and I'm talking about not just the simple gospel in that, hey, you're a sinner, you need to receive Christ. And, but if you're going to look at all the gospel, you know, Jesus, resurrected, ascended into heaven and coming again. Well, that's prophecy. And so you're going to have to, if you're going to be faithful to the gospel in the whole Bible, you're going to have to teach those things. So, again, there may be reasons why not. One thing you may want to do also, he may not be aware of how to connect what's going on in the world right now with the Bible. What you might want to do, is which I think is a great idea, with you having a meal with him and sitting down with him, and approaching this subject in a very soft way that doesn't put him on the defense immediately, because us as pastors, we pastors can be like that sometimes. We can be like, oh no, here comes another suggestion of what I should be doing. You know, one of the things for me as a pastor, Daryl, I don't know how you feel about it, but, I'll be honest with you. I don't like it when people come to church and hand me books, because I have so much studying and reading to do in a week that when people hand me books, I've learned to say now, are you giving that for me to keep? So I can keep this book and read it whenever I have time, or because sometimes as a pastor, people bring you books here. You need to read this book, and they expect you to read it now because they want it back next week. And it's like, you know what? I've got so much reading I'm already doing when it comes to the Bible and preparing for the studies that I do. So it might be good if you're aware of some really good prophecy teachers who right now are connecting world events and current events with the Bible. There are some really good ones, that are doing that on a regular basis right now, on YouTube. Now, I'm not saying go to YouTube and just look up any prophecy teacher, because some of them are whacked. But there are some good ones. I know that, you know, Daryl, is aware of a pastor there in Hawaii, Pastor J.D. Frog, who is a Calvary Chapel pastor who does the same thing. What he does is he does prophecy updates where he connects what's going on in the world with what the Word of God says. And there's several of them, that are really, really good. And maybe the folks at CSN there can maybe give you some names or help you out with some of that. But that might also be a help, is if you did have, you know, some resources like that, in case he says, you know, I really don't know where to go with this. That you might say, hey, here's a guy that you could, listen to a little bit, you know, if you had some time. 'Cause I know for me, listening to something on YouTube and listening to some sound bites, or even listening to a message that's, you know, an hour or less long, is less intimidating to me, than reading a book. You know, somebody handed me a book on prophecy that's, you know, 400 pages long. Here, read this. I'm more apt that if it's on a video or something, I can check it out real quick. You know, and I, as a pastor, I can pretty much discern whether I want to watch the rest of this or not. But that, those would just be some just suggestions I have, because, you know, Daryl's right. As pastors, we do get lots of suggestions, and we can become defensive about that, because, you know, as a pastor, we all feel, at least we should all feel, that we are doing what the Lord's called us to do. And it's not that, we've grabbed onto everything he wants us to do just yet, you know, just like this. But, you know, coming to him in that spirit of, hey, here's something I'd like to hear, I would like to know about. And maybe you could come to him with that, with the attitude of, not that I know everything, here's what you should be doing, but rather an attitude of, you know, I really want to know how current events connect with the Bible. Could you teach us that? And you might want to also tell him, you know, I'm sure if I feel this way, there's other people in the congregation who feel that way. So I think it really has a lot to do with the spirit that you go to him in. And it sounds like you have the right heart, Daryl.
And yeah, and I'll end it with this. Probably one of the premier guys right now dealing with Bible prophecy, has his finger on the Middle East pulse, if you will, is Amir Sarfati. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's a friend of mine, and he's spoken at our church. and he lives in Israel. And he's Jesus is his Mashiach, his Messiah, and he's really in tune with what's what happens here in America. We don't get that international information, news, if you will, and in Israel you do, and he's really got his finger on the pulse of what's happening there with Russia and Syria and Turkey and how it affects Israel because he lives there. He's a citizen of Israel. He was in the IDF. He understands this. And so he's probably one of the premier guys right now I would recommend to look up and to see what he has to say. And of course, let's say at Calvary Chapel, we're prophecy buffs. We love Bible prophecy. We love the book of Revelation. I'm finishing up the book of Daniel here in about 2 weeks. I'll be in Daniel 11. Then next Sunday will be Daniel 12. And then after that, I'm going to start the book of Revelation and be sharing through those 22 chapters. And one book that blessed my heart as a young pastor to grow in Bible prophecy, it's entitled Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost. It's an excellent prophetic book explaining so many terminologies and why we believe in the rapture before the Great Tribulation, and it's provable via the scriptures. Also, John Walvoord, both from Dallas Theological Seminary, are tremendous prophecy students and teachers. Dr. Ed Heinzen, who just recently went home to be with the Lord, good friend of ours, and he is a great, he has so many books that he's written along with Tim LaHaye, and they're most excellent. So there's a wide variety that you might want to suggest, but those are some of the few that have surely blessed my heart in ministry throughout the years and give a good understanding of Bible prophecy. And well over a third of the Bible is prophetic. And we have to teach, and that's what we always share. You got to teach from Genesis to Revelation, because the prophets, the major minor prophets of yesteryear in the Old Testament are screaming at us today with their prophetic utterances of that which was fulfilled during their time and close to their time, as well as into the future of these very last days. I just finished a series on the minor prophets on Wednesday night, did all the minor prophets. And I tell you, it's just phenomenal. And it's amazing as you study the scriptures, how it all coincides with what we're going through today. But anyway, Jason, you stay in line. We got some gifts for you. I think we still have that book by Tony Evans that's available, as well as a couple of videos and Mike's growth book, It's Time to Grow. And I know that you're going to be blessed. And thank you so much for calling. God bless you, my friend. Let's go to Gloria in Michigan. Gloria, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for asking. And how can we help you today?
Well, we just found out that I have a very close relative who was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm.
And she's having some tests next week to decide, you know.
Oh, boy. Well, it looks like we accidentally lost Gloria. But she has a relative with lung cancer. Gloria, if you could, let me see here. Yeah, no. If you could call us back, that would be great. But we're certainly going to pray for your close relative with lung cancer. With something technically happened here. Scott, why don't you pray for Gloria's close friend with lung cancer? And we'll just lift this individual. I don't know if it's a he or she. We didn't find that out to the Lord.
Okay. Daryl, I think she's back on the line.
Oh, she back on?
I think so.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. You're back on. Happy day.
Yeah.
All right. Gloria. Sorry about that. You dropped out on us.
No, I don't know what happened. Anyway, I've been doing a lot of praying, and I just feel like I'm not being heard or God doesn't hear me. And I'm wondering if I'm doing something wrong, or I just don't feel like he's hearing me.
Oh, boy. You know, Gloria, God hears our every prayer. It doesn't mean, though, he has to heal everybody. He will heal all believers, by the way. It doesn't necessarily mean in this life, but we will all be healed and we'll find ourselves in his presence fully healed forever and ever and ever. My encouragement to you is, you know, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This is in Proverbs. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Are you always acknowledge him? We don't know the day that we're all going to pass, and we don't know how we're going to pass from this earth to heaven as believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm a firm believer in prayer. I'm a firm believer in miracles. But I'm also a firm believer in the two promises of God. The one promise was, you will surely die. And the second promise is, you shall surely live through Jesus Christ, my son. And death comes in a whole variety of ways, whether it be a heart attack or it be cancer, it be a stroke or something like that, a brain aneurysm, could be a car accident for that matter. It comes in a variety of ways. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. He just said to us on earth, in this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Have overcome the world. He didn't say that we're experiencing eternal life on earth, meaning that we're going to live forever in these bodies. These bodies have to perish. They're going to go back to the dust. But he does say we'll have eternal life in heaven, and we'll get a brand new body that is imperishable, the Bible says, that is incorruptible, that is immortal. So don't ever blame yourself when you don't see a prayer being answered. Trust God. He knows us best. He knows how he's going to use this individual's life as a testimony of his son, Jesus Christ. If they're saved, if they're not saved, we need to share with them, and so forth. But, and we pray that this individual gets healed. But we also know that they will be healed no matter what as a believer in Jesus. And our heart aches. Our heart aches when a loved one, I've had many of my closest, you know, family members pass, and our heart grieves and it aches and it's painful. But I do know if they're saved, I will see them again. It's just in Hawaii, we say it's just a short aloha, and we'll see you again on the other side in heaven. Scott, why don't you pray for Gloria's friend here? Gloria, is this individual saved?
Yes, she is.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And let's go ahead and pray for her. Do you want to give us a name, a first name, or no?
Her name is Jennifer.
Jennifer. All right, let's pray for Jennifer, and let's pray for Gloria in this heart-wrenching and difficult situation. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, let's do that. And Gloria also remembered God's word in 1 Peter 3:12. Peter is quoting Psalm 34:15 that says this: "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." So he hears us. And so let's agree right now and pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we join our faith along with our sister Gloria here. And Father, we thank you, Father, for her faith to call in today. And Lord, we together look to you. Father, we are so glad, Lord, just like your son, whenever he raised Lazarus from the dead and he prayed before that tomb, he said, "Father, I thank you that you hear me." And Father, we thank you for hearing us today. And Lord, we pray that you would extend your hand in the name of your son, Jesus, to Jennifer today. Mm-hmm. Father, your word tells us that, Lord, you have written in your book all of our days, Lord, before there was ever one of them. And Father, we pray for Jennifer right now and ask for your will to be done in her life. We pray, Father, that cancer or no cancer, Lord, that she would live out every single day that you have written for her. And Father, we pray that whatever she has to endure or go through or whatever's ahead of her, that you, as you did the Apostle Paul, you would provide grace for her in her weakness, Father, to give her the strength that she needs, Father, to endure whatever's ahead of her. But Father, we know that you can heal, and we believe you can heal. And so, Father, we ask you to touch her. And Father, we ask you to restore her to health, Father, and to bring your son glory through this. We love you. We thank you. And we just ask for this today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Gloria, I'm sure there's a whole host of folks out there praying right now. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to trust the Lord in his sovereign will. And we believe in healing, and we want this healing to take place. And yet God knows us best as a testimony for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. We just have to trust that at times, but don't ever look at yourself and say, oh, my prayers aren't being answered because I'm this, that, or the other. You're saved by Jesus. He loves you tremendously. He's washed away all your sins, and God loves to hear your prayers. Doesn't mean he's always going to agree with your prayers, because his will be done for the sake of others, but he always hears a prayer. In fact, it says in the book of Revelation that all of our prayers are stored in a bowl, and God sees them as a sweet-smelling incense before his throne. They are all precious to him. And so from the shortest to the longest prayer, they're all there. So God bless you, Gloria. Please stay on the line, and we'll get you those that book by Tony Evans, as well as the DVDs, and also Mike's book, It's Time to Grow. So may you be blessed in the Lord, and folks, well, I'm sure we'll continue to pray for your beautiful friend, Jennifer, okay? God bless you. All righty. Oh, thank you so much. We're going to be going to, looks like Daryl in Fort Worth, Texas. I think I've got this right. Daryl, are you there? Daryl, how you doing? Oh, we don't have Daryl. Should we go to Vicki in Odessa, Texas? Let's go to Vicki in Odessa, Texas. Vicki?
Yes, I had a question about the Bible. Do the ones that have gone to the Lord before us, do they know what we're doing? Do they know about our welfare? And do they know what we're doing?
Well, that's a great question, Vicki. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're coming up on a break in about 5 seconds. So we're going to get your question right after the break, and please stay on the line. God bless you.
In this new world, on this new day, we rejoice that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Preborn has been preparing for this moment for the past 16 years by positioning their clinics in the top 6 abortion states, where 50% of abortions have occurred. Sadly, 5 of these 6 states will continue to abort babies at an even greater level. And since the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of abortions, babies are even more at risk. Preborn clinics are completely dependent on you, as they offer life-saving ultrasounds and the life-saving gospel to moms and babies in crisis. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
CSN International is listener-supported radio. Have you ever wondered where to send a donation to support this radio ministry? Our address is CSN International, Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. Help get the gospel out across the country. Again, our address is CSN International, Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. CSN, bringing you solid Christian radio that's listener supported.
You take my hand.
Edifying the saints and evangelizing the world. Great Bible teaching. Equipping a worshiping church. This is CSN International.
Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, filling in for Pastor Mike Kessler on To Every Man an Answer. And with me today is Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri. And we were just having a great time answering questions and praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And now we have Vicki on the line from Odessa, Texas. And Scott, she has that question about, are people watching us from heaven and seeing everything we're doing and hearing everything we're saying? And what do you have to say about that particular question?
Well, Daryl, I don't see anything in the Bible that gives us any evidence whatsoever that those who have passed on and now they're with the Lord that are aware of what is going on earth. Now, I know that some folks try to make a case using the martyrs under the altar in chapter 6 of Revelation to say that, you know, people in heaven are aware of what's going on down here on earth. I don't see that. What's interesting is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul makes it very clear that as believers, Paul said it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And literally in the Greek, what he was saying there is as long as we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, but to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And heaven is our home. Our home is where the Lord is at. If you remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul talks about the resurrection of dead believers and the rapture of those believers who are alive at the time Jesus resurrects the dead believers, it says that we go to meet the Lord in the air and we will be with the Lord from that time on. And so for us, heaven is wherever the Lord's at. And so right now, that's the third heaven that the Bible speaks about. That's where we go when we die here as believers. When we leave this earth, we go to be with the Lord. But I don't see anything that mentions that when we're up there, we're totally aware of what's going on down here. You know, some people try to use Hebrews chapter 12 there in verse 1, where it talks about how we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. And people say, see, those are our dead loved ones who are in heaven, and they're surrounding us and they're watching us because they're a cloud of witnesses. But honestly, that's not what that verse means. That verse is not talking about our loved ones who have passed on to heaven. It's talking about all those who put their faith in the Lord's word back in Hebrews chapter 11. The cloud of witnesses are all mentioned in the previous chapter, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, as people who, though they did not receive what was promised to them in full, they still had faith and they died in faith. And now they're with the Lord. That's the point. So, Daryl, I don't see anywhere that gives us evidence that those in heaven are aware of what's going on here.
I agree with you, Scott. And, you know, I think about the words of the Lord where he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of joy if we're watching all the sinning and the corruption and evilness and sinfulness going on in planet Earth.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, I was caught up into paradise, also referred to as the third heaven, which is where we're all going to go where the Lord is. And he says, I heard words that are inexpressible. And it was so beautiful, so incredible, so magnificent. It's inexpressible. And I don't, you know, otherwise, you know, the Bible says when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. The angels are involved in our salvation, of course. But for us as believers that have gone to heaven, there's no evidence that we're watching down on relatives or could visit relatives. That'd be called necromancy, and the Bible's strictly against that. So, Vicki, no, they're not, from all we know from the scriptures, they're not watching us. They're not, seeing the sin. They're not seeing the evilness and the corruption of this world. They're rejoicing in heaven. They're glorified, and all is great. And this is why we so look forward to going to heaven. It's going to be awesome and beautiful. So Vicki, hopefully that helps you out. And if you stay on the line, we'd love to give you the two DVDs, God of Wonders and God versus Evolution. You can share with family and friends. And, Tony Evans, book, the Transforming Word. We'll send that to you also. And of course, Mike Kessler's book, It's Time to Grow. It'll bless your heart. So thank you once again for calling, Vicki. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. Let's go to Jesse in Queens Creek, Arizona. Jesse, how you doing?
Well, doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
Yes, my question is, I hear a lot of ministers and preachers say that time and a half is the 3.5 years during the tribulation. But how can that be? That's 1 and 1.5 is 3.5? No.
Well, it is. A time speaks of 1 year, a time speaks of 2 years, and then a half a time speaks of of half a year. It's 3.5 years. This coincides with Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, as well as we look at the Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, as we're talking about the tribulation period. And then, of course, connecting with the book of Revelation in chapter 13, we have the reference of the 42 months. We have the reference of 1260 days, which coincides with the reference of the time, times, and half a time. And that puts it into that last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. We know that Great Tribulation period is going to be a 7-year period. And the first 3.5 years, great deception by the Antichrist. This is all after the rapture takes place first, then starts the tribulation. And of course, I think it'll probably be a time of, they'll call it a time of jubilee. All debts are forgiven. This world leader rises on the scene, very charismatic. He'll be a deceitful miracle worker. And all power will be given over to him. Our world's already been divided into 10 federations, which it talks about the 10 toes and so forth in the book of Daniel in chapter 2, as well as chapter 7. And so these things will be taking place. And this Antichrist will rise up and have great peace plans, great military plans, great economic plans. There'll be a false prophet with the great religious plans of worshiping the Antichrist. And, of course, the temple will be built in the first 3.5 years. And at the end of the 3.5 years comes with the Antichrist will go into the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He'll commit the abomination that makes desolate. He blasphemes the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be filled with blasphemies, the Bible says. He'll put an idol of himself in the temple, and he'll desecrate the temple, and he'll start killing any who will not believe in him. He'll institute the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. Then you come into the time, times, and half a time. You come into that the final 3.5 years. God's wrath will be poured out on a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting world, and it's going to be horrific on planet Earth. And, of course, the Antichrist will be doing his wars and the deceitfulness and so forth in those final days as he's trying to convert the world to himself. And Satan and the Antichrist are going to be convinced they can beat Jesus. They can wipe out Jesus as his second coming, and that's not going to happen. So I hand over to Scott. Scott, why don't you add to that?
Well, Darrell, there's not much to add to that. You nailed it on the head. You know what? It's amazing, isn't it, Darrell, that we have, you know, just that right there, a time, times and a half a time. We have it translated so many different ways in the Bible. I shouldn't say translated. We have it given to us, revealed to us, like you said, in the 42 months, in the 1260 days. And the key to understanding everything that you just said, the real key is going back to Daniel chapter 9. And when you understand verses 24 through 27, and you understand that the week there is 7 years, it all comes together, and it helps us make sense of the rest of those prophecies that you talked about. So that was a great answer.
What I would recommend, it might help you out, Jesse, is this, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm in the book of Daniel right now. And if you go to Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor website and you go to the archives there about the sermons and go to Daniel, you can listen to Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, all the way through Daniel. But, you know, that passage of Daniel 9, Daniel 7, and the times, half a time. And I go into depth and I explain it all. And I think it'll bless your heart as you continue to grow in God's word and grow in the faith. And I know that you're going to be very blessed. So stay on the line. We want to give you these items, Dr. Tony Evans' book, as well as these DVDs, as well as Mike's book, It's Time to Grow. So let's carry on. We do have a line open. Give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSN. Let's go to Richard in Ten Valley, California. Richard, how are you today?
Good. I'm doing fine, pastors. I have a quick question,
sure.
Two of them for you. And the first one is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 12, where Jesus curses the fig tree and it withers. And isn't that kind of an object lesson for Israel because of their spiritual hypocrisy and their fruitlessness?
Scott, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, Richard, I think you nailed it right on the head. That's exactly what it is. What's interesting is the fig tree is always symbolic in the scriptures of Israel. And so the issue there with the fig tree, wasn't that it didn't have figs. That wasn't the big issue. The big issue was that it had leaves, because when a fig tree had leaves, that meant it had figs. That's why when Jesus sees it, it's got leaves. He approaches it. It doesn't. He curses it because it doesn't. So the lesson behind that is what Jesus was teaching his disciples is that generation of Israelites at the time that Jesus is on the earth, especially the Jewish leadership, because it's interesting in the Bible, you know, leadership of a nation a lot of times is representative of the people. We know this. We know that not every Jew rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Not every Jew was spiritually asleep, but most were, especially the leadership of the nation of Israel, the high priest, the Sadducees, who were the aristocratic branch of the leadership, and the Pharisees, who were the super religious. You know, we might want to say today, you know, like today, we'd say that this was the conservative branch of Judaism, the Bible thumpers. But the problem with the Pharisees is they were very hypocritical. Jesus called them hypocrites. And so what's interesting is the fact that the fig tree had leaves, but it had no figs. Jesus was saying, this is the way Israel is right now. They have this perception or this show that they're spiritual. But when you look underneath the leaves, there's no fruit there. They're empty and they're not. Jesus put it this way. Jesus told the Pharisees, that you guys were like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but full of dead men's bones. And so that's kind of the same, type of, indictment that he's making here against the nation of Israel with the fig tree.
Yeah. And also, Jesus mentions the fig tree coming alive once again in Matthew 24. He says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. The symbolism of the fig tree representing Israel is found in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 24, as well as Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. And as Scott so aptly shared with us about the cursing of the fig tree, because Israel wasn't bearing fruit unto God. In fact, they're going to crucify their Messiah. Jesus also says in the last days, the nation of Israel will return to the land according to Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. And they will then become a nation once again. And they'll get Jerusalem. And he says, realize that this is a sign that I'm coming very, very soon. And then, of course, you have him explain to us the moral conditions of the world, referring to the days of Noah, as well as in Luke, it talks about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he talks about to watch and be ready. He comes as a thief in the night, speaking of the rapture of the church. He's going to take us home. And of course, the parable of the 10 virgins. Those that are faithful and wise go up. So it's very exciting as we look to the passages of Scripture. It's interesting that Israel, when it became a nation in 1948, there was about 800,000 people in the land of Israel. Today, in 2022, there's 9.5 million people that are in Israel. And the Jewish population across the world currently is only 15 million. So you can see what's taking place right before our very eyes. God's word is being fulfilled once again, Ezekiel 36 and 37. These are exciting days, which tells us the Lord is coming very soon for the bride, for his bride, which is the church, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, in the rapture before the wrath of God is poured out in the great tribulation period. So, Richard, I think we covered the parable of fig tree. You said you had a second question. What was that?
Wait, real quick, I don't want to keep you guys on the line here.
No worries.
Chapter 12, I was studying in my Bibles the parable of the tenants with the vineyards and, you know, God, you know, going away on a thing and then giving, letting it be in the hold of caretakers, and I guess they all represent something, you know, all the things that are mentioned, like the servants and the caretakers and the beloved son, of course, Jesus, and they start to kill everybody right down to the son. And can you just give me a little bit of a what that is at the bottom line of that parable, what it's Scott? Talking about basically.
Yeah, sure, Richard. It's interesting because you know, the owner of the vineyard is God the Father. The people that he sent to the vineyard, those represent the prophets that that Israel had killed, that the Lord sent to them. And that's why it says, and then finally he sent his own son, who of course that represents Jesus himself. And the rest of those who are part of the story there literally are the Pharisees. They're the ones that you know, were Jesus' greatest enemy. And because if you read in the context there, that's who he's speaking to, and that's what he's dealing with. So it's literally a picture of you know, God the Father being the owner of the vineyard, which the vineyard, and you read this in the prophet Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's chapter 11, that mentions that Israel is God's vineyard. And so the whole picture there, as Jesus gives that parable, is Jesus saying to the Pharisees, my Father has sent the prophets, you killed them. Finally, he sent me, you want to kill me. And you know, and what he's going to do, it's interesting because at the end of that parable, he actually says, basically, because you've rejected me, what's going to happen is that God is going to raise up a nation who will bear the fruit of the vineyard. And I believe in that parable, he's speaking of bringing in the Gentiles, grafting in the Gentiles. Paul deals with that, of course, in the book of Romans. You know, as he's dealing with Israel there in chapters 9, 10, and 11 in Romans. So he actually speaks then, I think, of the Gentiles who will believe in him and put their faith in him and be saved. And he says, well, they'll bear the fruit of it. So it's a wonderful parable. And as you read it, it's a very plain parable. As you go through Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and here's what he's telling them. And so it's incredible. And so I think that's pretty much what it means.
Yeah, and that's a good, great explanation there. But I will just point out, I know how it is. It's Isaiah 5 as well as Isaiah 27. I was able to look it up,
okay,
to double
great.
Check.
Yeah.
Double check for us, make sure we got it. But so you can look it up in Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 27. That'll give you some insight on Israel and the vineyard and so forth. And Scott gave a great answer. And so I'm the same way. You're trying to recall and like, I think it's this one. You're close enough, but we're almost there. A great, great answer, Scott. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Let's go to, and hopefully that blesses your heart, Richard, and stay on the line. We'll give you those gifts. Also, let's go to, Leona in Pine Grove, California. Leona, how are you today?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
I would like to know, first of all, what the statement of faith at a church should include. I found at my local Baptist church that the pastor was teaching scripture, but he wasn't at all teaching the practical application of scripture. He eliminated Sunday school and the nursery and all, although they had a beautiful building for that they built. So what should the statement of faith include?
Well, basically, your statement of faith is declaring the sound doctrine that you teach as a pastor and as a church. So we're talking about the Trinity. We're talking about the deity of Christ. We're talking about regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the blood atonement of Christ on the cross, and we come to salvation through grace by faith. And then you can add to your statement of faith. I know we've added some things that besides just those sound biblical doctrine aspects, we've also added we believe in marriage between one man and one woman. We believe in the sanctity of human life in the womb. And so people know fully who we are, what we believe, and how we should all live. Now, his decisions in regards to the schooling and the things like that, I guess that needs to be something that it's whatever the church policies and procedures might be, You have to find out what that is and why he's making these decisions unless there's nobody to help out. I don't know if no one's going to volunteer and help out in various ministries, then, it just dies a death and there's nothing you can do. But if people are involved, they can help out. You might ask him, why have we canceled these things? He might have a good reason, or he may have a bad reason. Then you can decide what you want to do, whether to stay or to go. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, Daryl, that was great. And I think it's very important for churches to have their statement of faith on their websites and very plain for people to see what they believe. I know, and maybe I'm going to get into trouble saying this, but I know that today it's very in vogue for churches on their websites to be very vague about what they believe because they're so desperate to get people to come to their church that a lot of churches, and I think this is the reason too, why there's been a lot of mainline denominational churches and churches that are associated with certain denominations that, in the last, what's it been now? The last 20 plus years, they've dropped their denominational name out of the name of their church. And they just call themselves, a generic name, something church. And then a lot of times if you go to their websites are very vague about exactly what it is that they believe. And I think that's misleading. I think I think it's a sales tactic. It's a marketing tactic of bait and switch. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Bible. Come to our church. Then you get there and you come to find out they believe in a lot of weird things or things that if you had known ahead of time what they believed, I probably wouldn't have attended there. And I hate to say this, Daryl, but we're in that time right now in the last days where churches are doing that sort of thing. And just like you said, Daryl, that's why on our website, we include everything on there from, what we believe about the Bible, what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus. We even put on there, what we believe, about end times. I mean, not only sin and salvation and all that, but also that we believe in end times. We tell people on our website, we believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. We want people to know that up front, that this is what we believe. Because when people are looking for churches, you want people to be like-minded. Those that come together and are like-minded are able to be in unity together. And then when there's unity, the Bible tells us the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon a congregation, upon a church when there's unity there. But when you have so many, people are just so torn so many different ways because they believe so many different things, because we're not definitive about what we believe, or we try to hide a little bit of the things we believe because we know that people today won't come. That's a bait and switch. And I think churches need to get out of that because I think we need to be upfront with what we believe, so that when people are making their decisions, whether to come or not, they can make an intelligent decision and a good decision. So as far as a statement of faith, I think it's very important that we're as detailed as we can be without writing a book. We're detailed to what we, as good as we can be. But then everything else that's on the website, I would think you'd want to include as much information as you could, especially when it comes to whatever you offer for different ministries. That's just, I think, wise to do that. So, but anyway, Daryl, that's all I'd have to say.
No, I think it's great. And, if you're going to go to a church and you're going to invest your life in that church, or you're praying about attending that church and see what the Lord's how he's going to use your life. You need to know everything about the church. Mm-hmm. And I agree 100%. We do the same thing. We inform people of everything that we do here and how we do it and what we believe so that people have a clear understanding. And I like it when people are completely up front. I don't want to guess, what their children's ministry might be teaching or something like that. And so forth. So, I think it's very important for everyone just to lay it on the line, what you believe. If you don't teach the book of Revelation, tell them you don't teach the book of Revelation. We teach all 66 books of the Bible, right? I mean, that's what we want people to know. Mm-hmm. And you come and learn, we're going to grow together, and it's going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly of all of us, and the greatness of God, his love, his salvation, his awesomeness, and how we can live for him and serve him and be a blessed people by him. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, Scott, it's been a fast hour, and we've answered a lot of questions. And thank you, folks. Leona, if you stay on the line, we'll get to those gifts. And it's been a great blessing being with you, my friend. And to all the folks, great questions today. Fabulous. Tune in tomorrow, and to Every Man an Answer, you'll be super blessed tomorrow. God bless you all. Have a great day.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.